Here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday, the 27th of November, 2017. 1910, on this day, Pennsylvania Station in New York City opened. Beautiful example of Beaux-Art architecture, pink granite, stately columns, skylit interior modeled after a Roman bath, the waiting room a block and a half long, 150-foot high ceilings. The great building was torn down in 1963 and replaced with a basement, which one architectural writer recently called an architectural crime scene. Outside of the U.S. penitentiary system, he said, it is hard to think of a more joyless building. But the destruction of Penn Station helped to start the architectural preservation movement in this country. The New York Landmarks Law was passed 2 years after that, just in time to save Grand Central Station, Radio City Music Hall, and many other historical landmarks. And ugly though it be, Penn Station today is the busiest train station in the Western Hemisphere. It was on this day, 1786, the poet Robert Burns borrowed a pony and made his way from his home in Ayrshire to the city of Edinburgh. He was a failure at farming, and after he got his girlfriend Jean Armour pregnant, he decided he needed to find a way to support the new family. He already had an illegitimate one-year-old daughter whose mother was a servant in the Burns household, and she wanted some money. So he accepted a friend's offer to go to work in the Caribbean as a clerk in Jamaica, and he was all set to leave in September. A few weeks before his departure, he published poems chiefly in the Scottish dialect, hoping to raise enough money to pay his fare. And the book became so successful that Burns began to doubt that he should leave Scotland. And then Jean Armour gave birth to twins. And at the same time, Burns heard that his book of poems had been favorably received by some influential critics in Edinburgh. And so, full of hope, he borrowed the pony. He made the two-day trip to Edinburgh. Along the way, he was entertained by farmers who had heard about him and who wanted to take him in for the night and to give big feasts in his honor. And he arrived in Edinburgh to find out that he was now famous in Scotland, and the trip to Jamaica was canceled. Here's a poem by Athena Kildegard, Mother's Prayer. I stood on the porch of our raised cottage and saw my two ruddy children crouched below in the grass over a hard-backed beetle, and I was taken with this phobia that goes up and up with me, and suddenly I saw myself fallen, my body twisted on the pavement, thigh bare and scraped and bloody, and my two children, wooden with fear, bent over me, saying softly, Mama, Mama. And I knew then, as one comes to know things that lodge themselves in us, that I had no way of telling them, my children, how I would leave them some day, as ashes they will toss out over moving water, how they will feel abandoned in ways that even dreams cannot express. Lord, make room inside me for this. Mother's Prayer by Athena Kildegard, from her collection Bodies of Light, published by Red Dragonfly Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Staples, with technology services for small businesses like PC setup and repair, some tasks completed by the next day, in stores or at staples.com. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
That was just the test to see how careful you were listening. Clearly, that wasn't National Native News, and we will get to National Native News a little bit later in the program this afternoon. It's a little after 6 minutes after the hour. I'm Ben Brown, and with me are Fred Hiltner and Odin Brody from the Juneau Nordic Ski Club. So welcome to a Juneau afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
And so, yeah, we were talking before we went on the air about the wonderful copious amounts of snow that have fallen and are continuing to fall. What does that mean for Nordic skiers in Alaska's capital city?
It means time to strap on the boards and look for the ungroomed and the groomed skiing around town, and we're going to talk about our kickoff for the year for the Juneau Nordic Ski Club with our annual meeting this week.
Okay, so first of all, a little background. The Juneau Nordic Ski Club has been around for quite a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been around for over 30 years, and we are best known as for grooming trails around the borough, and most of our resources go to grooming ski trails. We own our own grooming equipment, and so you can. And Fred, where all do we groom ski trails?
Well, most of our grooming is at the Mendenhall Campground and out at Montana Creek. We also do some grooming after Eagle Crest closes, and to keep maintain the trails while there's still enough snow up in that area.
Oh, the loops up there. Okay.
Yeah.
And so it's a club, so people can be members if they are so inclined.
Yes, for sure. We have over 300 members, and on this week at our annual membership meeting, which is 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Wednesday, the 28th, I think that is, or the 29th.
29th.
29th, thank you. From 6 to 8 at Zontakahini Middle School. And we get a lot of our people coming in to renew their membership at that meeting, but you can also do it online on jnski.org.
Excellent. Okay, and probably a little more information people can learn about the club at the website as well?
Exactly.
And so what exactly will take place at the annual meeting on Wednesday night?
Well, just for coming, we've got some prizes.
That's always fun. Prizes are good.
Yeah, we have some special door prizes that have been donated by local businesses in town. We've got some hats from Foggy Mountain Shop downtown. From Eagle Crest there, we're still working that out, but it looks like there may be some day Nordic passes given out as gifts. We've got a gift certificate from Second Wind Outdoor Consignment Shop and a special water bottle belt configuration from a Nugget Alaska Outfitters out at Mendenhall Mall.
Wow, so that's some good loot then.
Yeah, and these are our regular partners with the ski club, and they contribute in fashion like this. And another partner is Alaska State Parks, who also grooms some ski trails out at Eagle River. Eagle Beach State Recreation Area, which is now groomed and packed for skiing.
That's great, and of course, you know, even though we're the capital city, we don't have very many state parks. Eagle Beach is really the only one of any size. The Judge Wickersham's house is also a state park, but
yeah.
So that's good to know that the state is helping people be Nordic skiers here in the capital city.
Definitely.
And so does the Nordic Ski Club also do any sort of educational programming to help people hone their abilities?
You should talk about that.
We partner with 4-H, and in the past we've had a Learn to Ski program. This year we have a youth ski racing program to hone those competitive skills. That's the Juneau Nordic Ski Team, which is affiliated with the club. And then Eagle Crest, several of our members and associates are instructors at Eagle Crest who offers Nordic ski lessons, and then we always have skiers, coaches, and folks out on the trails happy to give pointers. And one thing we'll have at the annual meeting on Wednesday is a ski swap. So anyone who wants to sell or swap some Nordic ski gear, bring that on Wednesday. Or come if you're looking to fill some gaps or to get some ski equipment. You might find it there on Wednesday.
Excellent. And probably not quite as insanely busy as the other ski swap was.
Not nearly, but there's often some very good deals there if people are looking for reasonable deals.
No, and just probably a little more calm. I didn't go this year, but I heard it was as manic as ever from all the reports I heard. So to the subject of the day, though, how about all this great snow that's falling? That has to have you both very excited.
It is very exciting. We've been putting in a few kilometers ourselves, too.
So it's and this is pretty early to be out on Nordic skis.
It is.
I usually ski for the first time on November 14th, but this year it was before the 10th, and when that snow arrived, since the snow arrived, it's still been cool. So it's cool out, so it's great. The trails are all groomed for skating and classic at the campground, as well as Montana Creek, and then Eagle Crest. The downhill slopes, I'm pretty sure, I'm told they open this on Saturday the 2nd. And so they should have enough snow on the lower loop at Eagle Crest to ski there, and you can find that out on our website jnski.org. We have a very popular link to check trail conditions around town, and that might include backcountry conditions too, in Spalding Meadows, for example. But there is a link where you can look at recent postings for Eagle Crest, the Mendenhall Campground, the Montana Creek, and Eagle Beach
sites. And that's jnsk.org?
JNSKI, J-N-S-K-I.
.org. And that website, that trail information is just available as a service to the public, but of course it would be great if folks who are using it wanted to become a member of the ski club.
Correct. And you can join there online. You can post trail reports on our trail reporting, and that's the good thing about it, is it's real-time information about the trails and the conditions. One exciting thing this year is we'd made some improvements at Montana Creek. The access is a little better, the bridge is a little improved, and so that trail has seen a little bit of improvement. And there have been some other summer trail volunteer efforts going on this summer as well, right, Fred?
Correct. We've been working some up at Eagle Crest to do some clearing of the cross-country trails up there to enable us to groom earlier, or to ski earlier in the year, to make it easier for grooming to happen. And I know I'm talking with Dave Scanlon up there, the new area manager, and Nate Abbott, the operations manager. They've put some extra special efforts into compacting the snow this past 2 weeks so that they'll have a good hard base for the future.
Excellent. Well, I know that we downhill skiers, we alpine skiers, don't think about all the work that the people at Eagle Crest are also doing to make sure that there are really good Nordic skiing opportunities up there. We just watch out for them when we're coming down the hill and they're hiking up.
And thank you for that.
Yes.
Yeah, and the ski club volunteers, work crews have been really busy this summer, and I want to thank Trail Mix too. We had we worked with Trail Mix and City and Borough Juneau on the Montana Creek trail volunteer work, and with Eagle Crest up there, and with the Forest Service on a new little loop out to access the new parking lot out at the past the skater's cabin. So there's expanded parking off the road, and then an expanded little access trail which we're grooming from the parking lot to get to the campground. So both of those are exciting developments this year. And those trails at Mendenhall and Montana Creek are multiple use. I often say that our grooming is the best thing that ever happened to dog walkers, because they folks come out for multiple use of those trails. And we have some yellow signs that you'll see to encourage walkers and dog walkers to stay off of the Nordic groomed track, because that's the sort of the most precious part of that trail. But those are multi-use trails and enjoyed by many. And you don't have to be a skier to join the club. If you appreciate that grooming for any reason, just go online and join the Juneau Nordic Ski Club.
Excellent. And or even better, you could go to the annual meeting, which is going to be this Wednesday, 6 to 8 at Zantigahini.
Yes.
All right. Anything else, Fred or Odin, you want to share with our listeners about Juneau Nordic Skiing?
I'd just like to encourage people to come if you're at all interested in Nordic skiing and what the Nordic Ski Club does. I have skied on these trails for 30 years or more before I realized, hey, I want to contribute to what's going on there. So if anybody would like to volunteer for a little bit or a lot, it's a great opportunity to come and ask how people can contribute to all the great grooming. And just want to put a thanks out there for all the groomers. We have, I think, 28 groomers on the list, some full-time. Well, not full-time, but, you know, multiple days during the week. And it's an amazing amount of volunteer effort that goes into the club.
And I want to echo that. The guys and gals doing all this grooming, none of them are paid. It is all volunteer.
Excellent. All right. Well, it sounds like a stellar example of a community coming together to provide a wonderful recreational and healthy resource for people to enjoy life here in Alaska's capital city. All right. Fred Hiltner, Odin Brody, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Yes, happy
winter.
Thank you so much.
And now, at an unconventional time, we'll go to National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has publicly apologized to former students of Indian residential schools in Newfoundland and Labrador. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, more than 300 people gathered in Goose Bay last week for the ceremony.
Trudeau apologized for the beatings, sexual abuse, neglect, and loss of Innu and Inuit languages and culture at the residential schools. Three of the schools were located in Labrador and one in northern Newfoundland. The apology comes after a $50 million settlement was reached last year in a class action lawsuit. Trudeau acknowledged that the apology comes far too late.
Today was about the survivors. We've worked with the survivors over the past months and years in some cases to respond to their needs, the need to acknowledge the harm that was done to them and demonstrate that we are truly and deeply sorry and that we commit to ensuring that their story is known and that they are supported.
Residential school survivor Toby Obed accepted the Prime Minister's apology on behalf of former students.
This apology is an important part of the healing. We have connected with the rest of Canada. We got our apologies.
But not everyone was ready to accept the apology. Leaders of the Innu Nation boycotted the event, saying Trudeau does not understand what the Canadian governments have done and are still doing to the Innu people. The residential school survivors in Newfoundland and Labrador were not included in the apology made by former Prime Minister Stephen Harper in 2008. His government said Ottawa was not responsible for funding those schools at that time. Newfoundland did not join the rest of Canada until 1949. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
World Indigenous issues were highlighted at the 48th annual National Day of Mourning in Massachusetts. Last week's gathering brought together hundreds of Native people and their allies to Coles Hill, overlooking Plymouth Rock. Melinda Tuhus has more.
The event is sponsored by the United American Indians of New England and seeks to represent struggles from all over Turtle Island. Among those who spoke was Amy Norman, an Inuit land protector from Labrador, Canada, whose community is fighting a mega dam under construction at Muskrat Falls.
Our lands will be changed forever. Trap lines and homes submerged underwater forever. Sacred sites submerged forever. Mega dams are a huge, huge source of methane emissions.
Another speaker was Vanessa Inarunikia Mesli, whose ancestry is Taino from the island of Borinquen, known by its colonial name of Puerto Rico. She and other volunteers carried on a grassroots mission to help islanders devastated by Hurricane Maria. She mentioned a hospital ship called the Comfort that was moored in San Juan.
But how are the people from the mountains going to come down to go to the Comfort? How are our people even going to know about this? And they said, oh, this ship, no one has come, no one is using it, and stopped in San Juan. You know, if you can send flyers and drop bombs over Iraq and Afghanistan, don't tell me you can't drop a few flyers over those areas and let people know there's a ship there. Maybe you can help them get there.
Those in attendance paid tribute to American Indian Movement co-founder Dennis Banks, who died October 29th at age 80. And every year, political prisoner Leonard Peltier sends a letter to be read by a Wampanoag elder. The day ended with a march through Plymouth and a potluck social at two local churches. For National Native News, I'm Melinda Tuhus.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by Drumbeat Indian Arts, offering authentic Native American recordings and religious herbs, craft supplies, books, and a wide selection of Pendleton blankets. Holiday delivery on orders placed at drumbeatindianarts.com by December 15th. Support from AmeriCorps Vista, whose members fight against poverty while earning money for college and gaining skills, with rewarding service opportunities around the country and info at AmeriCorps.gov/Vista.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
It is about 22 minutes after the hour today, Monday, the 27th of November. I'm Ben Brown. This is a Juneau Afternoon. And with me now is Aaron Hood, who is on the board of directors of the Rock Dump. Welcome to a Juneau Afternoon, Aaron.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely glad to have you here. And I understand that the Rock Dump is having a fundraiser this week, so let's hear a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we're having our major annual fundraiser, which is the Real Rock Film Tour. It's a series of rock climbing movies. They're going to be showing, it's this Saturday, December 2nd, at Centennial Hall. The doors will open at 6, and the movies will start at 7 p.m.
And for listeners who are not familiar with the Rock Dump or just know it by name, tell us a little bit about the facility, what it offers, and how it's been so successful over these past several years.
Yeah, so the Rock Dump is our indoor climbing facility in town. Well, there's actually a few. There's one out at the university. There's a climbing wall. But the Rock Dump's the major indoor climbing facility. It's on out Thane Road. Basically, in the past few years, we've converted it from a for-profit business into a nonprofit. So it's now a nonprofit organization, and it's run to basically promote climbing and recreation for people in Juneau. We have rock climbing classes for kids. We have it's a chance to go down if you're interested in climbing, to find climbing partners, practice indoor climbing. We're hopefully going to increase the amount of programming that we have in terms of teaching climbing and creating more opportunities for people to learn about things like lead climbing. And, as a nonprofit, we are operating on a fairly shoestring budget, so this fundraiser is really important for giving us some financial stability.
Now, the facility's been there for over a decade, hasn't it?
Yes, it's been there a decade and a half.
Yeah, I remember when it first opened. What was the transition like from being a for-profit business to a nonprofit? That's somewhat unusual.
Yeah, basically what happened is the person Matt Cecil and Amy Cecil opened it. They moved out of town, and then eventually Matt wanted to sell the building where the Rock Dump is located. And there was a group of us that came together and said, hey, we'd love to preserve this facility. Alaska Coach, which is the bus company, actually bought the building. They wanted office space. And so we approached them and said, would you rent us back the other space where the gym is located? And that space has been shrunk a little bit as they took some office space, but it remains basically the same. And so since that point, we have, we created a nonprofit organization, which is called Juneau Climbing and Recreation. We have a board, and we've been running the gym as a nonprofit entity. And I think it's been fairly successful, but as I said, it's sometimes a struggle to keep it going. But one thing that people should know is that we actually just recently got our 501c3 status from the IRS, so now we're tax deductible if people want to make donations to basically support indoor rock climbing in Juneau.
And some portion of monies that would be spent at this fundraiser on Saturday would be tax deductible then as well, probably.
Yes, although I...
It's probably not the entire cost of a ticket, but it's whatever is over and above fair market. I'm not an accountant, so don't take tax advice from me, but that's usually how it works.
Yeah, I think that's correct. And then we also have, I should mention, a silent auction as well. And so we have a whole host of organizations, North Star, Foggy, Discovery Southeast, Temsco Coastal, that have donated prizes. So that's another reason to get there early. In addition to the fact that the Alaska Brewing Company donated beer, so we'll have beer there. We'll have the silent auction items. We're also having a baked goods sale as part of the silent auction, so we're encouraging people to bring baked goods that can then be auctioned off to add to the fundraiser. And then we'll have a bunch of door prizes for people that buy tickets and get in. We'll be handing those out at intermission during the movies.
And that's going to be this Saturday night. The doors open at 6, and the event, the movie starts at 7?
The movies start at 7, yeah. There are actually 4 films this year, all different kinds of rock climbing, and we'll have an intermission in the middle of those 4 movies.
If people wanted to get tickets in advance, would they contact you, or are they on sale anywhere here in town?
Yeah, so you can get tickets out at the Rock Dump. You can also buy tickets at Foggy Mountain Shop, or you can buy tickets at the door. Those are your 3 choices.
Excellent. And in past years, have you had pretty good crowds for this fundraiser?
We have, yeah. We have just a section of Centennial Hall there, and we've done pretty well in terms of filling that up. And I think we've seen a lot of support in the past, and we're hoping that continues this year.
All right. So this is this Saturday evening, the 2nd of December, 6 o'clock at Centennial Hall. It's a fundraiser for the Rock Dump. And the name of the nonprofit organization again?
Is Juno Climbing and Recreation.
All right, Juno Climbing and Recreation. And you're on their board of directors. And congratulations on getting your 501c3. It's not the easiest thing in the world.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a long process.
But it will definitely enable you to have a virtuous cycle of providing an additional benefit for folks who are generous enough to support the work that you're doing.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping.
Excellent. Anything else you'd like to share with our listeners, Aaron, on a Juno afternoon?
I think that's about it. I mean, I guess I would just say that some of the movies, some of the climbers that are featured are kind of younger teenagers, both men and women. And so I think it would be, it's definitely a family-appropriate event. I'd encourage you to bring your kids, and hopefully we'll see people out there this weekend.
All right. Well, I hope you have a very successful event. That's this Saturday. Thanks again to Aaron Hood for being on a Juno Afternoon.
All right. Thank you.
and it's about 33 minutes after the hour. That was Night Noise. Shadow of Time is the album, and Silky Flanks is the name of the song. And that segues into a very fun event that's coming up here. Scott Burton, let's hear about the staff and volunteer photo show here at KTOL.
All right. Thanks, Ben. Thanks for having me on the show. So, as part of this big December 1st Friday gallery walk this Friday, here at KTOO, our staff and volunteer has been submitting pictures, and we'll be having a show right here in the K2 building hung on our walls, and we'd love for everyone to come by starting at 4 p.m. this Friday. Always seems like this might be a good place here in the Willoughby Arts District to start your art walk, you know, and then migrate towards downtown, and so we'd love to have everyone.
Well, and the email, being a volunteer here, I know I received an email telling me about this and encouraging me to find some photos several weeks ago. Of course, in true Alaskan fashion, I procrastinated almost till the very end. But I guess what I'm saying is, if you're a volunteer like me and you didn't respond, there's still time.
Yep, by midnight tonight. And I think it's really going to be great. We have, so far, 25 participants, and we asked each of our staff members and volunteers to submit up to 5 images. So, I don't know, do the math. Over 100 images we're going to have. And just a really fun way, I think, to learn about some of the volunteers and some of the personalities you hear on the air. You know, as a journalist, many of our employees often sort of live life on the fence, right, politically. Well, they're going to be able to share their own personal pictures and things that may reveal more stuff about these journalists, reporters, engineers.
But without a lot of stated commentary, these will be pictures that are worth 1,000 words.
Indeed.
They'll have the person who took the picture's name and a brief description, but other than that, the picture will have to speak for itself.
Indeed. Yep, it's going to be very simple, and we have these great white walls here. We might as well fill them with some art.
I remember, over the years, there was a tradition of staff members or sometimes volunteers coming and doing slideshows when they got back from an amazing trip somewhere.
Uh-huh.
But that's really labor-intensive.
Right.
You know, to be the only person to present, or this is my trip to Machu Picchu, you got to really get that together. This is way less of a mountain, pardon the pun, to climb. This is 5 pictures and an email to you, Scott. That's all it takes.
That's it. That's it. Very DIY. It's a collective show. It's going to be lots of fun.
So if you are a volunteer or even a staff member here at KTOO and you have not emailed Scott with your photos, there's still time to do it, but don't wait till too long because tonight is the deadline.
And if you're just a member of the public, please come by. If, member of KTOO or not, we would just love to have everyone come by on Friday at 4 p.m.
And first Friday in December, as most listeners know, but I'll just do a plug for those who don't, does kind of tend to be one of the nicest and most special ones of the year, especially because everyone's already survived public market, and they're ready for that fun month that is December in the capital city.
That's right.
Now, you also wanted to share a little information with our listeners about a writer's showcase coming up later this week.
Yeah, that's the day before. This Thursday, it's a television recording of Writer's Showcase, which will later be broadcast on statewide TV. And it's doors open at 6:30 and cameras roll at 7 p.m. And I think our listeners may know what Writer Showcase is, but it's modeled after selected shorts where famous actors read short stories. And that's actually made for radio. Ours is made for television and radio. And we have our local famous actors reading stories by Alaskan writers. So this Thursday, we'll have Elizabeth Pysel Davis is going to be reading a piece by local writer Clint Farr. It's called Of Pecans and Possums. And that's set in Georgia in the late summer.
Sounds delicious.
Yes, right? Donnie Gott is going to be reading Mary Kudinov's Stronghold, which is set on a beach in Anchorage in spring. And Christina Apathy, our very own, all things considered host, will be reading Heather Lendy's Fire and Ice, which takes place on a thin frozen lake up in Haines.
And that's going to be the live readings and the recording will be this Thursday, but then it will be broadcasting at a later date on 360 North.
That's right. And I think it's a really great opportunity, like Selected Shorts, where you see it's a collaboration, right? And Ben, I know you're an actor as well. So you take this literature, this art form, and then you pair it with, an Elizabeth Pysel Davis, this fine actor, and see where she takes that first art form. And it takes it to new places. It's really neat.
Now, are you directing it? Because there could be, obviously you could entrust actors to go and just read the piece. Most directors probably wouldn't do that. But to what extent is there a curatorial process for the presentation?
That's right. So all the actors come in next week, and we do some reads, and we talk about the pieces and what should be emphasized and what shouldn't be, and do the presentation, and we figure out how to put them. And, you know, really the curation started months ago when people started sending in their stories, and I want to give a big thanks to all the people who submitted for this show. So thank you very much. If you do want to submit to Writer Showcase, you can always send in a piece to arts@ktoo.org. But anyway, back to your question, Ben. Yeah, we practice and then put the show together, and it's live to tape. So what you see is what you get down at 360. So.
And so it's twice as exciting if you're here for the actual live performance and the recording than if you are lucky enough to see it again on 360 North later. You can say, hey, I was there for that.
That's right. That's right. And you know how it always enhances an actor's performance to have more people there, it seems.
That's right. It's a wonderful room when there's no one in it, but it's even better when it's got a nice full crowd.
That's right.
All right. So the details again for the Writer's Showcase on Thursday.
Writer's Showcase, doors open at 6:30. Cameras roll at 7, so please be on time. That's downstairs at 360. Admission is free, 1 hour. And then the next day is our photo show here at KTOO here in the building. It'll be upstairs, and you can get here starting at 4 p.m.
And start your December gallery walk-off here at the home of public broadcasting in Alaska's capital city.
That's right.
Very good. Thank you so much, Scott.
Thanks, Ben.
This is Bird Note. The plains and the prairies, wide open spaces where the wind blows free, where there are few hills or elevated perches, where the rough-legged hawk goes hunting. When the air is still, it's inclined to rest, but as the wind picks up, the rough-legged hawk takes to the sky. It defies gravity, flying upwards with just enough force, hovering in midair with rapidly beating wings and lowered feet and tail, looking for its prey of lemmings, voles, and short-tailed mice that are active during the day. After breeding on Arctic cliffs and tundra hillsides in summer months, rough-legged hawks winter all across the northern hemisphere. Open country is their ideal territory, where the small rodents they depend on are usually so plentiful that the hawks have enough to eat. But the rodents are cyclic, with lower populations in some years, and in those winters, roughlegs may migrate farther and be more abundant in the lower 48. Find us at birdnote.org. Support for Bird Note comes from Songbird Coffee, offering bird-friendly, organic, shade-grown coffee for holiday giving. More at birdnote.org/songbird.
And it is about 41 minutes after the hour. I'm Ben Brown. This is a Juno afternoon. And we're now going to learn a little bit about the high school swim team Christmas tree sale. And share this information with us, we have Savannah Kiesling, Andon Mulgrew Truitt, and Annie Hagen here in the studio. Welcome, ladies, to a Juno afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Who wants to begin? Before we went on the air, I was saying the high school swim club Christmas tree sale has been going on for a long time. Do you know how many years?
I know Juno Douglas has been doing it for a super long time, and Thunder Mountain joined about
7 years ago.
Okay.
7 years ago, and we've shared it since then, but I don't know how long it's been going on total.
Well, that's more information than you probably even knew I was going to ask you about. So you were prepared. You did your homework. So well done. Well, what are the details on the Christmas tree sale? Because this is the time of the year people want their Christmas trees, so I'm sure people would be eager to find out how they can go out and buy one and support the swim team.
So we are selling in the Fred Meyer's parking lot next to the gas station, and we have Douglas firs, Noble firs, Grand firs, and Nordman firs. And we have a range of sizes and wreaths for sale as well.
Excellent. And so that's more of a variety than I can recall having seen in the past. That's kind of exciting. And do you know the prices of them, or does it really vary depending on the type of tree and the size?
Yeah, the price will vary based on the size and the species, but They're from around 35 to 130.
Okay, wow. So quite a variety depending on people's Christmas tree needs.
Yeah.
Now, Annie and Andon, are you both on the swim team?
Yeah. I'm on the Juno Douglas swim team.
Yeah, and I'm on the Thunder Mountain swim team.
Well, what a fine example of crosstown cooperation between our two high schools. And are you going to be actually physically there working the Christmas tree sale, or do you and all the other folks on the swim team as well?
Yeah, we do work it ourselves. I think everybody has to take two or three shifts every winter, but yeah.
And what hours, because not everyone wants to go to Fred Meyer at the weekend, you know, it can be kind of busy then. Are there any off-peak times where people can go and purchase a tree?
Yeah, Monday through Friday, we have them for sale from 5 to 7 p.m., and then Saturday and Sunday, we're selling from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Okay, so lots and lots of opportunities. And will there be, I guess you sell them until they're all gone, but is there a cutoff deadline?
Well, last year we sold out, so.
So better to get there early and not wait till the end.
Yeah.
Very good. Now, what about the wreaths? Are those from all the four different kinds of trees as well, or are they a mélange?
Those are just pre-made, and they have, like, nice juniper berries and pine cones on them, and they're $40.
$40. Now, since last year, Fred Meyer expanded the gas pump facility. So is that going to change anything about the way the Christmas tree sale happens?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Did you notice any difference.
Good. And I guess the good thing is people won't have to wait any longer to get gas once they get a Christmas tree is the idea with the additional pumps. So, well, that's a good thing. And now this is probably a pretty important piece of the swim club's fundraising and budget for the whole year, right?
Yeah, this is like the primary fundraiser that helps us travel to all our meets, like both teams, and it like helps us travel a lot.
Right. Well, the school district doesn't pay for this and hasn't for a very long time. So obviously, it's really important that you, as members of the swim team, and your family and your advisors, you know, are all coming together. But the community has a chance to chip in and make sure that Juno has a strong swim team that can compete all across the state.
Yeah.
It keeps it affordable for our swimmers and our divers. If we didn't have fundraising like this, it could make the sport not affordable for everyone that wants to do it. And that's what we want to do, is make sure it's affordable.
Right, so you can have as many young people participate as want to, with, and not just certain kids, but all kids who are interested.
Absolutely.
That's great, Savannah. Well, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners about this year's Christmas tree and wreath sale? I would repeat.
Come on down and support the team. Our swimmers and divers are out there. We have a saw. We'll cut the end off for you. We're out there. Last year there were some pretty bitter cold days. They're out there in the hard weather. I mean, just, you know, it'd be great just to come down and get a tree if you need one.
Very good. So tell us the hours again, just so folks are aware when they can go and take advantage of this opportunity.
5 to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday and Sunday.
And that means starting today at 5, there'll be someone there to sell you a tree.
Yes.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on Juno Afternoon, Annie and Andon and Savannah. Mm-hmm. And I hope you sell all your trees out nice and soon, and wish you very happy holidays.
Thank you.
Thanks,
you too.
That was Smile, performed by Pearl Django on the album Modern Times. And if you didn't know it, Smile was actually written by Charles Chaplin and Jeffrey Claremont Parsons.
KTOO and the Jocks have got your holiday gifts covered with December's Art Glasses Paper Garden, featuring local artist Lorelei Miko. You'll create a one-of-a-kind paper flower arrangement using paper as both a creative and flexible material. Thursday, December 14th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Rockwell. All supplies included, no host bar. Tickets on sale now at the Jack, KTOO, and JAHC.org.
Well, that certainly sounds fun. In the interest of full disclosure, I do support the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council. So the weather forecast on this Monday afternoon is for snow showers, which are happening now, turning to rain and snow showers with a high near 35 degrees and southeast winds around 10 miles per hour. It is a 100% chance of precipitation, and the total accumulation today is 1 to 3 inches. Tonight, the rain and snow showers will become all rain after 7 p.m. and gradually end with a low around 33 degrees. The southeast winds will gust from 10 to 15 miles per hour, becoming northeast after midnight, and continuing chance of precipitation of 100%. As the week goes on, it's scattered rain and snow showers and isn't warming up too terribly much, but perhaps enough to melt some of that snow in your driveway.
Support comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, showcasing a variety of artwork every first Friday at the Downtown Cafe. More information at heritagecoffee.com.
Thank you.
that was Pearl Django, Black and Blue, on the album Modern Times.
This gallery walk, see new perspectives. The KTOO staff and volunteer photography show up through the month of December. Between our producers, reporters, photographers, administrators, volunteer DJs, and engineers, we public media people love to take pictures. Join us for a first Friday gallery walk reception at 4 p.m. on December 1st and share our professional and personal perspectives of the world.
It's just about 2.5 minutes before the hour. You've been listening to a Juno Afternoon. I'm Ben Brown. Today is Monday, the 27th of November. Another exciting event coming up here at KTOO is the used media sale. Ready or not, it's back again. And the pop-up record shop is going to also be taking place, and there'll be more vinyl than the capital city has ever seen or cared to see. This will be happening on the 8th and the 9th of December. You can be a part of it, either by donating some used media or coming and buying some for your collection. So on Friday the 8th at the Amalga Distillery, Annie B. Has amassed dozens of collectible LPs, and then Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon, there will be even more LPs, CDs, DVDs here at the station. So now is a great time to be thinking ahead about cleaning out your collection of media that you may not want to hang on to anymore, records, CDs. You know, I'm not certain about cassettes. I found a bunch of cassettes the other day and luckily still have a car I can use them in, and it's been quite amusing popping some of those in and hearing what is on them. But used media are not refuse. They're a valuable commodity, and you can donate them to your public radio station and help keep public media alive and well here in Alaska's capital city. Thanks again for listening. I'm Ben Brown. I'll be back next Monday on a Juno Afternoon, by which time, who even knows how much more snow we'll have.
This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas. We also rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K210AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoonah, and K210AM.